You're welcome back to the Diamond Download. How do you do? Cardinal Mason. Hi, Chase Diamond. Noah and Diamond. Dude, I know we missed last week, so we have a lot to catch up on. I was in your area about a week ago, hanging out with male models, trying to learn how I can become one. It's not working out really, to be honest. And then I was in Dallas for a little bit, and then I was flying when we had to do this. So that's why I missed it. But
we're here. Yeah, bro. Let's do it.
You look like you had a good weekend.
Yeah, weekend was pretty good. One of my really good friends got married, but my family was all sick. My wife was sick. My daughters are sick. So just went to each event either by myself for a few hours or with the wife for a few hours. So it was good, but not great. I'm really pumped for my buddy, but wish we could have been there longer. What about yourself?
This weekend? Oh, well, I'm back in Canada now. So hanging out, trying not to get sick. I swear that today I was playing tennis. Dude, I'm like a tennis pro now.
Nice.
Dude, tennis might be the easiest sport ever. Like, it requires, like, there's only so much skill you can have with tennis, I imagine. Like, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get on there, and if you try hard, you can hit the ball back over the net. It's really nothing. Like, you need – I have, like, a 3 out of 10 form, but, like, a 9 out of 10 hustle. So, like, I'll be running around, and I'll hit whatever ball. Like, I know how to get ready, and like, dude, I'm good. Like, I'm actually good at tennis.
Tennis is fun. Pickleball and racquetball are really, really fun. You got to try those next if you haven't.
Is that just like tennis for like little kids?
Pickleball is like tennis, but on a smaller court. In my opinion, it's more fun. And then racquetball is just like you're playing typically like in an enclosed room or like a wall that has like a few sides. And it's fun. It's a lot more intense and it's a lot more, in my opinion, of a workout.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. Let's try it out. What's paddle then?
I don't know what paddle net is. I played pickleball and racquetball. I don't know what paddle net is.
I think it's paddle. I don't know. I've heard that.
Yeah, I've played like badminton. I haven't played that since I was like a kid though at the beach. I don't know what paddle net is.
It means like a cross net for tennis. We should make that.
Yeah, or we should call Chris. Yeah.
We should call Chris. We'll cut him in. We'll give him a little. High. All right. Speaking of which, let's get right into this. So there's been a lot of chatter on Twitter lately about all of these D2C fallen angels. So you brought up Parade and Lunya. Yeah. Lunya I know pretty well because I worked with them years ago. I was writing copy for them. And they seemed a little bloated, I won't lie. Like I didn't know what their revenue was. I knew they were doing well. But they had like 50 people on staff and they had a creative director and an art director and like 4 copywriters. It was me and a bunch of other people. And so I am at like, okay, so basically what's going on, I need you to explain this because I don't really know what's going on, but everyone's going bankrupt now. There's like 3 brands that we know that we love that are gone now, right?
Yeah. And you told me another one last week. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that. Just disappeared.
PR. Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we can like share details, but Disco. Like if you go to their Shopify site, it's not there anymore.
It's crazy. They were a client of ours. Awesome dude. Awesome company. So I really didn't know what happened there. You were the one that kind of told me that that was no longer. On Parade, I have a little bit of an inside scoop because I have a buddy that works there. And he told me like 12 months ago, he's like, dude, what should I do? Where should I go? This isn't looking good. We'll probably fire sale. And he essentially mentioned to me, I don't know the Lunya story, but what I understand from Parade, and I don't know if this is TMI, but they did a really bad job with inventory planning. They bought tons and tons of inventory last year that they thought that they were going to sell through this year. And they're just sitting on tons of inventory. So from what I understand, I wouldn't say it's mismanaged. I don't know if it went to that degree, but they just kept buying tons of inventory of like the same items and they just could never sell through. So I think like the marketing and the inventory and supply teams weren't in sync with like supply and demand, which is like the fundamentals of business. And therefore, I think they sold on pennies on the dollar. The CEO got pushed out. My buddy, they had a bunch of comp and stock, made like literally $0. Obviously, he didn't lose money, but he made like no money. So just a sucky situation for everyone involved, potentially the buyers. But I don't know. I'm curious what they bought them for. I'm curious, like, can they skin it and can they make them profitable? It's like what Ty Lopez was doing with his companies, right? He was buying like all these people. But that didn't really seem to work too well from what I understand. Again, I don't really know, but that didn't seem to work that well, although it kind of a great idea in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I mean, I wish I understood D2C better. Like I really only understand like the customer facing side of things. Yeah. Like obviously like, I have a lot of DSC experience through you and through like my first few years of freelancing and obviously owning an agency myself, but like I really only know like the marketing side of it and retention specifically. So like, I don't really understand the other moving pieces. Like what allows a brand to go so wrong? Like there's obviously demand for the product. People want it. Is it like an advertising thing? Is it like a economics thing or like a financial thing? Like what happens there?
Yeah, I want to ask my buddy more in depth. He kind of couldn't share too much, but what I could imagine happens, a couple of things. I think one is like maybe they just bought the wrong styles or prints and were just sitting on like hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars of inventory that like A, no one wanted. B, like I don't know if it was a sizing issue. I don't know if they bought like all smalls and they only sold larges, or if they bought all larges and they didn't sell smalls. Like I don't know if they just are sitting with certain sizes or if it was just bad prints. But yeah, like, dude, the things that they bought, like literally are just collecting dust somewhere in a warehouse, which has costs. Like they obviously paid for those things and they were just buying like in ridiculous quantities. I think the hard thing about some of these apparel companies, right? If you look at like Parade and Luna, like they're both apparel. Disco's obviously a little bit different, more around like grooming kind of beauty. But like with apparel, right? Like you have to forecast so far out in advance. Like we have friends that are buyers that like Revolve and some of these companies. Dude, they're buying like minimum summer 2024, sometimes even like winter 2024 right now. It's like, you just have to be so spot on and somewhat savvy with understanding like where things are going. And I think for a long time, like they were on the money and were doing well. I don't know if they got cocky. I don't know if they got greedy. I don't know if they just thought that like the marketing was going to be easier. I also think marketing got more expensive, right? When you look at all the stuff with like iOS 14, 14.5, all the stuff with Facebook, I think marketing just got expensive. I think cost of acquisition got expensive. I don't know if the people that they were targeting kind of grew out of the demo. I don't really know the exact story, but those are some like hypotheses.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's weird too, because like these are kind of like our homies that we're like talking about. Like Ben is actually one of the greatest dudes ever. Shout out Ben from Disco, Ben Smith. I know how sharp he is. And I know that if he was running something like what we run, where it's just straight cash flow, like he would like break our necks like easily. But like, I feel like something like Disco where it's like subscription based is such a hard thing to run, where it's like you break even or lose money on the first purchase. And then you basically have to run like a SaaS model where it's like, well, hopefully they'll keep coming back, but it's just with more friction. So you have to keep reordering. So
yeah, I mean, dude, with Ben too, like from what I understand, like he ran a pretty lean ship. Like I don't think he really ever had tons of employees. He mainly used like contractors or agencies. But I also think like men's in that space, like men's skincare, men's care is a hard one, right? Like, you know, obviously there's a million and one women's things and women's buy and spend tons of money. I don't know. I bought from Ben to support him, but like, I just never bought again. I never used the product just because I forgot about it. Like I don't have a skincare regimen, right? Like I have like a deodorant that I've been using, obviously the same brand, not the same deodorant, but like I've been using it since I was like in high school or college, right? Like, I just think with men, like you're just such creatures of habits, and like you just forget about these things that like, I don't know, his products are cool and great. And I love seeing them. But for me, they're almost more like cool, good looking accessories that were nice to leave out versus like I never actually used them. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? But for real, like shout out to the team on all those brands. Like I'm sure it sucks to see that, you know what I mean? Like, cause I know people at Lunya and I know people at obviously Disco. So like, hopefully like everyone like does some cool shit and makes a bunch of money doing whatever their next thing is. 100%. Cool. So let's move on. Okay. So neither of us watched the Alex Hormozi $100 million leads thing. Did we?
No, I didn't. I obviously heard about it. I saw it, saw a bunch of chatter about it, but I don't know much about it. What have you heard? Because I'm a little behind there.
Okay. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on Hormozi in general? Like, are you like a fan? Like, I'm a fan. Are you like a fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan or not a fan. I think he's cool. I think what he sounds legit. I like his stuff, but like, I don't consume a lot of it. But I like him. He seems really smart, very successful. I like what he's doing. It's impressive. But like, I'm not like a fanboy. Like, I haven't watched enough of his stuff just because I've been busy.
I feel that. Yeah. I remember like every time I start a new thing, I always love to watch his stuff and Layla's stuff too. But
They're sharp. Okay. I mean, they're very sharp. They're very legit. So not that. I just haven't dove enough into it. But the stuff I've seen, I've liked.
Yeah, so he did his webinar launch for his book over the weekend. And it was super interesting because everyone, there was like 500,000 people.
Nuts.
I think he said his Zoom bill to like hold everybody in the room was like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Insane.
So I think he made his money back. But I mean, it's just crazy to see. What people were saying was that he basically gave away a bunch of sauce. I probably should have watched it. I think it's on YouTube. But he gave away a bunch of sauce on like basically creating content and like creating lead magnets and basically like just doing like short form and long form and just like giving everything to your business. And now everyone's saying that it's going to become super saturated and like it's just creating a new wave of people who are going to try and do this thing. The question is really like, do you believe that saturation exists at this point in your career? Like, do you think there's anything that's like genuinely actually saturated, or do you think that like no matter what, you can always kind of pick something up and just spin up a business that makes six figures, like even if it's just like 10, 20 grand a month?
Yeah, I don't really believe in saturation. I think like there's enough for everyone in, you know, XYZ space. Like, it doesn't really matter. I think like part, again, I haven't read as much or seen as much or heard as much as you have, but like, I think part of the problem is like, you know, yeah, sure, maybe he gave away all this stuff, but like, people are people. Inherently, they're lazy. They're going to have other distractions and other things where it's like, I mean, all this information, like, I think he just packaged it better. I think he's just as good at packaging. Like, all this information exists and everyone knows what they need to do, but why are only a few people doing it, right? I just think people aren't willing to get in the reps, get the time to do it. So I think it's great and people are probably on a high and maybe they're a little bit more educated, but I don't know that the follow through is going to be there. I think people are going to try for a little bit, realize that it's really hard, and then they're going to give up. So I think it probably is going to help and influence some people, and maybe there's more competition, but I don't think things get saturated. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think like, dude, it's so crazy because like I'm in a position now where I can make something saturated if I want to. Like certain smaller things, like, dude, right now with my audience, like the last time since we've talked, like, bro, I now got YouTube cranking and I got Instagram.
Oh, cool.
Bro, I'm everywhere now. And like, so there's a lot of content coming out of me and people are seeing a lot more of me. And like, people will always say like, yo, like this guy, he'll get like 1 million views talking about copywriting. And like, you think it's not saturated? Like, obviously it's saturated. And I think of it like, dude, out of 1 million people, maybe 10,000 people are going to actually look into it.
Yeah.
Maybe 500 people are actually going to try it. 100 people are actually going to make some money with it. And then 10 people are going to go on and make it their career and, yeah. and be consistently working with like 3 to 8 clients at a time, making really solid money, right? Like six figures. Yeah. It can't be saturated because there's just not enough people who like care to actually try, bro. Like no one's actually going to do it. I wish people did. And dude, it's the proof of like, especially with a program like mine, where it's like, I can see people, like I can see people come in. And like, when I started copywriting, I thought it was saturated, right?
Yeah.
That was 2020. Cause I saw a couple of other people do it. And I was like, oh, all the leads must be gone. It's over. But like, it's never, oh, bro. Like now, like there's people coming in now and within a couple of weeks, like signing their first client and signing 3 more. And then, you know what I mean? Like you'll never run out of opportunities to do stuff. I think like content may be saturated. I think it feels kind of crowded now with like all of the YouTubers kind of making the same type of videos where it's like, here are 7 habits that made me a millionaire or something like that. Like, there's a couple of big guys that are all doing that. And I think there's only so many different ways you can say that. But dude, I mean, competition breeds, what is it? I completely blanked. Basically what I'm trying to say is like, it forces you to iterate on something and make it
better.
That's what happens. You know?
Yeah, dude, it's like equivalent to like working out. Like everyone wants a 6-pack, but no one is willing to go to the gym. No one's willing to do the cardio. No one's willing to do the eating well, right? Some people will do parts of it. And then they wonder like, oh, I've lifted weights every day this week. And they're like, well, did you do cardio? No. Did you change your diet? No, right? Are you still drinking, you know, and eating endless amount of sugar, alcohol, whatever it is? Yes. It's like, I think it's just hard, man. Human nature is hard. And I think inherently, if you're not passionate about it, if you're not genuinely curious about it, it's just so easy to throw in the towel. And by like going back to what you said, like I mentioned this before, I think to you, I don't know, if, on the pod, like I get emails all the time of like, Cardinal Mason said, don't pitch me. And here I am pitching you. So it's like you say something and then people are just blowing up my inbox. And then I saw something that you retweeted yesterday. Some guy was like, I keep getting DMs because people watch Cardinal Mason stuff. Like he got like 3 or 4 DMs from people asking about like, hey, you want to do email or are you using email? Whatever it was. So it's like when you say something now, people are going to do it. And then when they don't get the results, they're going to give up. And the people that get the results are going to be so hooked, right? And obviously, there is a good amount of people that are doing what you said. Like you just connected me with 3 or 4 people yesterday for some of the work that we need done. And we're going to hire a couple of them. So there are people that are doing it. And those people are therefore, you know, winning. Like they're going to get all the work.
Absolutely, man. And that's exciting because like those are the people that you want to win. You know what I mean? Like there's no room for someone to come in and just like half ass it and then, you know, wake up with a big pile of money.
Yes.
Happen. So, yep. And then, dude, people are going to forget about that. And then in another 2 years, there's going to be another thing that everyone thinks, oh my God, it's the end of XYZ. You know what I mean? It's too saturated now. It's like, nah, like it's cyclical, right? All right. Last one, because I know you love software. So I just literally have a software tool that you couldn't live without. And you could put one or you could put 10. You give me as many as you want, because I know you have your little software.
Yeah. I'd say like I couldn't live without, you know, an email software. Obviously right now I'm biased, so I'm team Sendlane, but I couldn't live without email. It's so crucial and core to everything I do with a personal brand and every client. For social media, I've been using a lot of Taplio. It's from the guys from TweetHunter. Just use it really honestly for my own profile metrics. So what I basically do is I can look at my own content at any given week, any given day, any given month, and see what was popular and kind of riff off that. So less about discovering other people's content and kind of coming up with ideas and more just like as a way to almost like bookmark and document what has gone well for my profile is Taplio. They also have like a free carousel tool that I use to turn tweets into PDFs for LinkedIn. What else do I use? I use Twitter Advanced Search as well. Free tool from Twitter, I guess X Advanced Search now, but it allows me basically to see content I've created with a certain amount of engagement. I'd say like those are the few that I use probably the most frequently. What about yourself?
That's all good stuff. I hope people are taking notes right now. Like this could be a thread. This could be a thread. I mean, dude, like to be fair, like I don't really deal with a lot of software because like Ben just does that. But like I think that like some of the software that we use is genuinely magic. Like I'll give you an example. So I don't know if I talked about this. I might have. So if I did, then just forget I said anything. But once we got kicked off Stripe, we had to figure out a way for me to know when I'm making money from mobile, right? Because if I'm on my computer, obviously I can just go to HighRoast and I see it come through. But with our new processor, they don't give you notifications. Like there is no dashboard.
Interesting.
And so what we have to do is basically like, there's already an automation set up so that when payment is achieved, they get moved over into a certain column in Go High Level. And so we have a Zap set up where it's like, when this person gets moved to this column, it sends me a text with all the information, like through, I think it's through Go High Level.
Wow.
So it gets moved over to a new column where it's like lead purchased or lead closed. And then it sends me a text saying new sale, name, and then the person, and then the status. And so if I know it's like, if it says closed, it means high ticket. If it means something else, if it says something else, I think it just says if it's purchased, then it just is, I know it's a low ticket sale, which I think is super cool. It still can't show me exactly how much. So that's a problem. But we'll figure that out. You know what I mean? I just think that like the stuff you could do, bro, like I sound like a boomer saying this, but like the things phones can do these days are just incredible.
Yeah. Like to do the automation stuff. Yeah. Because being able to access on your phone, like whenever you want, is so powerful. Like, and you don't have to like wait for that kick and that adrenaline. It sucks. Yeah. There's certain things I can't look at on my phone. I'm just like, oh man, I want that thrill. Give it to me. So that's cool, dude. That's really cool. Yeah, some of the stack that you guys have right now on Copy MBA is really impressive. And it's really great. And it's not that expensive, some of it.
I can't take credit for a single thing, bro. A single thing. Like, I have, like, bro, all I do is sit in front of a camera. That is my job. and I manage people. That's pretty much it. The rest is done by, Ben, and the sales guys know a little bit. Abby does a lot of stuff with like Slack and integrating like forms and stuff so we can like onboard people properly. And then like the Clip guys, the YouTube guys, are they have a software called VidIQ. I don't know if anyone knows about VidIQ.
Yeah.
That's a good banger for people. Look into this if you're ever doing YouTube. It'll give you like keywords that you can rank for. It'll like give you video ideas based on around certain keywords. It's just like a bunch of cool insights that you can use. I think it's powered by AI or something like that. But
yeah, I've used it in the past. That's sick. In a future episode, I definitely want to talk about some of the stuff you're doing on social, because I have started seeing like your new Instagram account on my feed. I've started seeing some YouTube stuff. So we'll talk about it on a future one.
I have doubled. Again, this is not me. I have an agency for this and I pay them a lot. But they doubled my following. I'm still under 10K. But
you made it what, a week ago? It was 3 weeks ago? Like it's
a week ago, they started posting for me and I started doing, oh, never mind. I actually just hit 10K, like literally right now.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah, whatever they're doing is working. So, like, we've doubled our following in 7 days.
Dang. And that's your new account. That's not even the account that you've had forever. That's like a couple weeks, wow.
Well, I had it for a while, but we actually started trying to grow it. Like I was at like 4,500 and now I'm at 10K.
Dude, sick. All right. We're going to talk about that in a future episode. That's sick.
Yeah. And YouTube's cranking too, bro. Like my numbers are looking all right. I'm happy. Like I'm very happy right now. Like this is like where I want to be. But anyway, I'm done.
Heck yeah. Dude, this was great. Missed you last week. This was a good one. Appreciate you, brother. So Cardinal Mason, are you Cardinal Mace now on Instagram?
Cardinal Mace on Instagram and then Cardinal Mason everywhere else.
Cool.
TikTok.
All right, brother.
TikTok, Twitter.
Heck yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah.